come on and give a praise today. It's cold outside, but it's warm inside. I don't know. I feel like raising a hallelujah with my church today. What do you think, dear? Yes. Somebody want to raise a hallelujah with us? Yeah. I think the worship team's just getting warmed up. It's only 9 degrees outside, but Jesus is inside the house today. We're going to raise a hallelujah. That's going to have the worship team sing that again. How about that?
Yep.
Church, I say we raise a hallelujah around the altar of the living God and just allow God to make a transformation in your life today. Church, come on, let's worship.
Let's fill these altars as we raise a hallelujah. King of kings, Lord of lords.
I raise a hallelujah in the presence of my enemies. I raise a hallelujah louder than the unbelief. I raise a hallelujah. My weapon is a melody. I raise a hallelujah.
is how I fight my battles. This is how I fight my battles.
It may look like we're surrounded, but oh, we are not.
This is how I fight my battles.
We're surrounded with His presence. It may look
like I'm surrounded, but I'm surrounded by You.
Fight the battle. You just raise a hallelujah. Right in that song, there's this verse that heaven comes to fight for me. Heaven comes to fight for me. You just got to let that sink in a little bit today, church. Heaven comes to fight for me. And I'm going to raise a hallelujah when that's just kind of overtakes me, to be honest. I'm not alone. You're not alone. We're not alone. You are the church of Jesus Christ. And heaven will fight your battle. When you don't see it, heaven is fighting. When you don't feel it, heaven is fighting. Don't think for one second that you're alone, church. The church of Jesus Christ is alive and active. Amen. Hallelujah. Lord God, I thank You for that today. I thank You, Lord God, that I can plug into Your word. I can be alive and active, Lord. That You will come and fight my battles, Lord. I don't have to do it. I just need to get out of Your way. Lord God, thank You. Thank You for Your power today, Lord God. Thank You for the anointing touch upon this church. Father God, we pray for that power, that outpouring, Lord. In Jesus' name I pray. Cross Point Church says what?
Amen.
Hey, give a praise today, church. Go back and say, heaven fights my battle for me. Heaven fights my battle. Good morning. It's a shame for the Browns yesterday. Talking about fighting a battle. I'm not sure if there's much of a battle there. I don't know. For my good friends that are Browns fans, I am so sorry. That's my second favorite team. And I tell you, that was a rough morning. I'm sorry, no, when they play. Afternoon, whenever they played. I don't know, I'm losing track of time. But good morning. Thank you so much for coming into Cross Point Church today. There's many here. There's more than I thought would be here. It's only 9 degrees. You know, it's only negative 20.
Winchell. It's okay. They played a football game last night in -5, -25, Winchell. And they're out there playing football. And I thought, Lord, I can go to church tomorrow morning. I can go. If you weren't able to make it, if you're watching online today, thank you so much for joining us. There is still a lot of sickness going around. We want to continue to pray for those that are ill in body. Thank you for the Malone students starting to come back into the building. They're so excited to get back to the studies. You know, I hear so many stories of how they miss the studies when they're away on break and whatnot, and they just wish they had classes during break that they could just continue the study, right? Said no college student ever, right? Hey, it is a little chilly outside, but it's certainly warm inside God's house. Thank you so much to the worship team. You know, I was really praying this morning, and I was just thanking the Lord that we have some really dedicated people in this church. And I just tell you, the people that are in our sound and media booth right now, I just want to give accolades, and I love them so much because they do something for us every single morning. I so appreciate those sound guys that show up and turn on the soundboard, which I have absolutely no idea how to do. I thank you for the media team that shows up and turns on the media computer and turns. I know a little bit about that, but not a lot. Thank you, Lord, that we have people that know how to stream this out to people that can't get to church on a Sunday morning, or people throughout the country that watch us, or even foreign countries that watch us. You know there's some countries out there watching us. We thank you for John and his team that get that live stream. The screen's on your right and on your left if you're in the house. That's the picture they're watching this morning out wherever they're watching from. So if you're watching, we thank you for joining us. Thank you for the team that's doing that. We thank you for the lighting guys that turn on our lights and light things up. They are just wonderful. We thank you for the pastors and the service hosts that are running the online streaming and the online broadcast. They're pastoring and talking to people this morning. We thank you for them. So many people are doing so many things to keep God's house active and alive and moving forward, right? Wow. Hey, thanks so much. It's a big day in God's house. It's a big day every day in God's house. I'm so appreciative that God made me alive and active. I'm alive and active today because I have connected myself through Jesus Christ to God's word. It says God's word is alive and active. Therefore, I am alive and active. And I'm on fire because I'm alive and active, connected to heaven through Jesus Christ and the word of the living God. I pray that that is you as well. Now, we're in a series called Alive and Active. Now, I thought this was only going to be a couple weeks. So we're talking to people saying it's going to be a couple weeks, you know, and God just laid on my heart to continue on. So we're going to continue on in Alive and Active. Week 3 is today, and we're just going to do what God's told us to do. So I hope you're okay with that. Anybody in the house today or online, are you alive and active today? Anybody? See? There's the energy that heaven gives us. It doesn't matter what we're going through. When you enter the presence of the living God, something changes you. You just become energized. Something happens. And Nicole talked about, you know, you go to a ball game, a football game, or a baseball game, or whatever, and we're so enthusiastic. We should be that enthusiastic when we come in the presence of the Lord Almighty, especially in his house, right? And we should be alive and active. Now, we're in this series called Alive and Active. And I'm going to do a quick review, if you don't mind. Week 1, we talked about what does it mean to be alive and active. And we go to Hebrews chapter 4, verse 12, and this is the verse that we have been using. For the word of God is what? Alive and active. That's power. It is alive and active. What does it mean? It means it's sharper than any double-edged sword. That's what it is. So when you're connected to God's word through Jesus Christ, you are alive and active, and it penetrates to dividing soul and spirit, joints and marrow. It judges the thoughts and attitudes of the heart. That's what it does. What does alive mean in the Greek? Now, I know many of you, if not all, realize that the Bible wasn't written in English. So there's a couple translations out there, right? God says, I'll never let someone change the words of my Bible, my word, my scripture, so we're okay with that, and it's been translated into English, but what does it really mean when you say you're alive? It means you're living. That means you have life inside of you, and sometimes that's just so much that you just got to let it out, right? It's just, you just got to kind of let it out. That's what worship does to me, and preaching, and the anointing, and it just kind of builds up inside of you, and sometimes you just feel like it's just going to overflow, right? That's the active part. That means you have effective power in your life. Why, Pastor? Because God's going to use that to get something done on planet Earth through you. He's got a plan. He wants something accomplished. And you're the person that God has selected to do it. Pastor, I don't know what that is. Well, there's a plan. There's a purpose, right? That's the active part. And we talked about four things on week one about the alive and active and what it does. And it covers everything in your life. Being alive and active, connected to God through His Word and Jesus Christ, makes you covering everything you've got going on in your life. You're covered. We talked about it provides purpose in your life. You'll find purpose when you are alive and active in Jesus Christ. You'll find purpose. Gives you power. Power that you're experiencing this morning to convict, comfort, transform, fight your battles for you. Gives you power. We talked about in week one how it awakens us. God's power. God's active and alive, right? That will certainly awaken you. Last week, we talked about that awakening. We started with prayer. We launched a National Week of Prayer last week with the Assemblies of God. And the theme is awakening. That means to revive an interest in. Awaken you means to revive you in some type of interest. And the interest we have is prayer, going to heaven. We got to revive ourselves continually in our prayer time to heaven. And you've been doing that this last week, and we so appreciate that. That's what we want to see around God's house. So we had the thought, and it went like this. Prayer doesn't bring an awakening. It doesn't bring on some awakening in your life to revive interest. It doesn't bring it on. It is your awakening. The very act of being obedient in prayer is your awakening for effective power in Jesus Christ. We talked about Charles Spurgeon last week, one of the great preachers back in the 1800s, 1850s. I think he passed away around 1892. We talked about how 60,000 people attended his calling hours over a period of 3 days, and 100,000 people lined the streets over in England as they laid him to rest. But he had this quote. It says, prayer rings the bell of God's ears in heaven. Prayer rings the bell of God's ears in heaven. You just got to let that sink in. I used it many times last week. It just rings the bell of God's ears. Here comes Pastor again. Here comes Crosspoint again. It gets his attention, right? So last week I called 21 days of prayer and fasting. Last Sunday, your pastor called for Crosspoint Church not only to do the National Week of Prayer, but I called a prayer and fast for the next 21 days. We'll talk about that here in a second. Why did I do that? Why did the pastor add fasting to the week of prayer? And here's why I did it. Because prayer gets God's attention, but fasting gets God to respond. I don't want God just to hear us. I want God to respond to us, and fasting gets a response from heaven. It might not be the most popular thing, but it gets a response from heaven. If you're in something right now, church, if you're going through some type of battle, some situation, and you want to ring the bell of God, you pray. If you want God to respond, you fast. And today we're going to talk about that fasting and what it does for our lives to make us alive. And active. Now, I got a confession to make this morning, church. Your pastor is going to confess. Hold the presses. I am going to confess. I like to eat. I like food. And my wife over the years has gotten to be this really good cook. And that is a downfall in our home. It's because, you know, years and years ago, we got married. And, yeah, she's, you know, it's okay. You know, you have to say it's good, right? It's just a little white lie. No, it's really good today. She can really cook well. And I like to eat, as you can see. So that's a kind of a challenge when you call a fast, that you confess that you like to eat. Why is that? Why? No one is with me today. I have no witness that people like to eat. Oh, okay. We'll see that. We'll test that here in a few minutes for you. Why do we like to eat? What happens when we start to eat, especially if we think the food is delicious? Say delicious. Delicious. Oh, yeah. Yeah. Just delicious, right? Delicious. I know some delicious foods. So do you. See, you're already thinking about it. See, it's only, what, 10:54 on a Sunday morning, and you're thinking about lunch and being delicious. Why? Because when you eat or you think about being delicious food in front of you, you get this thing going on in your brain, this dopamine thing. This neurotransmitter starts to react, right? And it starts to entice you, and you start to say, especially if you're really hungry. If you're really hungry, and it's really delicious, right? You start to feel good. And then when you start to eat, you start to release more dopamine in your brain because you like it. And that's why you continue to do it. It's good, right? Makes you feel good, right? Makes you feel good. What's some other reasons? It stimulates your senses, your taste, your smell, all those, right? It stimulates, and if you eat with your fingers, your touch, right? Right, whatever. I'm eating today. I've seen some people, and it's been me as well, after you get done some fasting and you really put some effort into it, you're hungry, right? And you can't wait to eat. Now, it's a little dangerous if you've been fasting for a long time to eat a lot. Now, I'm going to tell you from experience, when you're done fasting and you want to be careful because you could kind of upset your body. Your body doesn't have any food coming in, and all of a sudden, whoa, it's delicious. Makes you feel good. It's pleasurable. We just like food, right? We like food. Some people eat to comfort themselves. You're suffering some depression, you know all about that, or some situations going on in your life, and you eat because it's comforting to you, and then you eat more because it's more comforting, and it's delicious, and you get yourself in trouble because we eat too much, right? You only need so much. Did you know, church, that your stomach is only the size of your fist? It could stretch, but it's really the size of your fist. It doesn't take much to fill it up. Well, us, in our ways here, especially in America, we love this delicious food. So, we stretch that thing out. Yeah. See how much you ever see the hot dog eating contest on July 4th? Right? Uh-huh. Yeah. It's only 76 hot dogs in 4 minutes or whatever, right? They got the glass of water there. They got the hot dogs. They shove the bun in first, and they shove the hot dog in the second. I don't know why. And then they chug it with water, right? It's delicious. Do they eat hot dogs, throughout the year, right? I don't know. What is the most popular food in America? Somebody shout out popular food. Anybody?
Pizza.
Pizza. Okay, anything else? Someone said pizza. Okay. Hamburger. Oh, yeah. Yeah, mac and cheese, right? The students say mac and cheese because they live on mac and cheese, right? So what's the number one food in the United States today? It is the hamburger. And I like a little cheese on my hamburger. So do we have a hamburger there? What's that? Whoa. Wow. I like to stuff the cheese in the middle. I like to inject it. Mm-hmm. See, look at that. You thought I was kidding when I said it starts that dopamine in your head going, right? I can't eat that cheeseburger just plain. The number two food in the United States is French fries. I got to have some fries, right? A little ketchup, got to have some fries. That's a lot of fried. There's only 800 milligrams of cholesterol there, right? Right? You feeling your fast now? Right? You got this fight going on in your life between that and the spiritualness of, I got to fast. I'm going to give you an example today, church, of how powerful your stomach is. I'm going to ask my faithful assistant, Val Leali, a.k.a. Vanna White, to come out here. Let's give Val a hand, please. Thank you, Val. Oh, my favorite. My favorite. Anybody eat Krause's pizza? Oh, you didn't think I was right when I gave you all these examples. This is killing me right now, dear. Woo. Oh, see, it stimulates the senses. I can smell it. It's really warm. You think there's real pizza in there? Oh, look at that. Look at that. They need to get a close-up of that, folks. Look, yeah, you're on a fast, right? College students, look at that. Pepperoni, onions.
Is that mushrooms?
There's mushrooms on here. This looks like yours. Does this really wreck your fast? Is this, this is the third most.
No, seriously, Pastor, is that?
What?
That's, is that?
What do you mean? You gotta, what are you doing? Okay, yeah, right. Well, Mike, you left like a half of it in there. Oh, yeah, right. That's good, isn't it? That's really good. You just broke your fast. Look at that. Pass it around, right. All right, pass it around. If you're not fasting, you could eat pizza today, right? Thank you, Mike. That's really good, isn't it?
No, this is mine.
Oh, it's yours. Yeah, it is yours. Wow, that was... He just took the pizza. Pizza! Krause's Pizza. There's a plug for Krause's Pizza, right? You didn't think... Now, you're just all sitting here, and you're watching online saying, wow, if you like pizza, hamburger, cheeseburger, or fries... You're feeling it right now, right? Pastor, hurry up with the message, I have lunch. It's what you're thinking, right? I've got lunch. That just proves to you that I am right. That those things happen in your body, your physical body, when you start to see and smell and taste food, right? That's exactly what happens. Have you ever felt strongly that something was supposed to happen in your life? You were so sure you heard from God. I just know, Pastor, I heard from God. You waited, you prayed, you waited some more, and nothing shows up. Then the question starts in your mind. Did I miss God? Was that really for me? Was that for somebody else? And I just didn't get it. Why isn't anything happening? Maybe something's missing in the process of ringing the bell in heaven. Maybe something is missing when you ring the bell. Maybe in that process, there's something missing. There is a story in Mark chapter 9 of God's word. And there's this boy that has what some people believe could be epilepsy, but he's possessed by some demonic situation. And people had seen these disciples healing people until this kid shows up. They couldn't do it, right? They just couldn't do it. 1, 2, 3, 4, 7, 8, 9 disciples. They couldn't get it done. So they bring the little boy to Jesus, the boy to Jesus. Demon-possessed, convulsions like epilepsy. And Jesus just heals him. Healed. And there is this question the disciples had. Why could we do that? We've been doing it, but why could we do it? And Jesus answers. He talks about it. In Mark chapter 9, verse 29, he says, so he said to them, this kind could come out nothing by other than prayer and fasting. What is he telling them? You didn't pray enough? Or you didn't fast enough. Because that's how it works. And then the scripture there says it like this. This kind. That means there's a classification of the activity in the boy. Maybe there's classifications of demons, right? We're not going to get into that today. But there's a classification because he says this kind. Meaning there are other kinds. That's for meat, right? This kind is this, but there are other kinds. But this particular situation requires this. And it uses the word can. That means you can do it. Do what? Take it out. So the opportunity in the life of the boy can be changed because it can be changed. And then he lays out how you can do it. It can come out, it says. It also cannot come out. If it can, it may not, is what he's saying. So he says, if you want it to happen, you have to do something extra. You have to ring the bell of God in his ears, and you have to fast to get this situation to change. Now, church, you're involved in the situation right now. All of us are. And you got to wonder and ask yourself, why isn't it changing? Maybe, just maybe, this kind of situation needs more than just prayer. Maybe it needs what Jesus says in this situation is prayer and fasting. And that's the extra part of the process that maybe sometimes we miss, because there's a couple, two, three words there that resolve it. It says, the only way. The only way this is going to happen for this boy is by prayer and fast. The only way you're going to change your situation, whatever it may be by prayer and fasting. Financial situations, health situation, you name it, whatever it is, maybe the classification, this kind of situation in your life needs prayer and fasting. So your pastor called a prayer and fast for 21 days. Why? Because I care about Crosspoint Church. Because maybe there's some this kind here that needs prayer and fasting. And Jesus taught us that. The thought's like this: there are things that God desires to happen in our lives that won't happen unless we pray and fast. So here's the question. Watch the question behind me and online. We'll pray when we have to, but will we deny ourselves when we need to? We'll pray when we have to, but are we going to deny the pizza and the cheeseburgers and the fries or whatever you love when you need to? Do we add that last component in there, prayer and fasting, where Jesus says, this is how you do it? Are we willing to add the extra component and deny our physical cravings for food because we want this more? We need this resolved more. And if so, prayer, ringing the bell, and then we fast to get a response. Right? Why? Because fasting breaks strongholds, liberates people, and moves us into the realm of realizing God's power in our lives. It breaks through. The more time the disciples spent with Jesus, the more the disciples could do for Jesus. They learned a lesson in that story. I got to go a little deeper for that kind. I've got to go a little farther for that one. I wonder if the little boy was appreciative, right? See, church, there are things that God wills for us to do that we will not have the power to bring about unless we have spent time with him. You got to hang out. And you got to learn that it's not just prayer. You got to add some fasting components for some of those this kinds. Takes the extra to get it. So the question I have this morning, what's biblical fasting? What is it? It goes like this. Fasting is abstaining from food or other things in order to give ourselves to prayer and fellowship with the Lord. It's kind of funny. The more you deny yourself of food, the more you need God to intercede in your life to help you to deny yourself of food. The more you need him. What does that mean, Pat? It means the more you're going to rely on him for this kind of situation that you need to have resolved. That's why we called the prayer and fasting for 21 days. So there's three biblical types of fasting, three kind of primary. Now, the Facebook page this past week had several on there. They're all good and all accurate. I just want to talk about three core ones right now. I just want to mention there's that absolute fast. Well, you're just not going to do anything. No food, no water, nothing. Pastor, we can't go without water. Sure you can. How long can you do that? Watch what happens here in the next few minutes. What about just a normal fast type? Abstaining from food, some type, maybe all food or some foods. Some of you have health conditions like your pastor, can only do certain things. I'm doing this no food thing. Let's see how it happens. If I'm laying in the kitchen on the floor, my wife's going to say, hey, it didn't work. Right? Didn't work. It worked, maybe. Not quite the way I wanted it, right? What about a partial fast, just abstaining from certain specific types of food, like the Daniel's fast or some other types of things that you say, I'm picking this. It could be whatever. It could be something that you're really in need of. The pizza, maybe that's your thing. Maybe the fries, maybe the cheeseburger, hamburger. Maybe it's coffee. Maybe it's chocolate. Just saying. You know, yeah, you know my wife's a chocolate-holic, right? So I'm going to call a prayer fast. So we got all kinds of chocolate around our house, right? I call a 21-day prayer fast. It's all gone. Right? It's just disappeared. I got to load up, right? I got to load up because I ain't going to get nothing for a while. I got to load up. It's all right. We're still going through the fast. So why do we do it? So why? I told you because it's that, but really, what's the expectation? Watch what Jesus says about our fasting. It says in Matthew 6:16. He says this like, and when you fast, that means you're going to do it. You need to do it. So he just makes this declaration, and I just put the short version up there, right? And when you fast. That's the expectation from Jesus, that his church will fast. And when you do. What does that mean? That means you do. That's the assumption that Jesus makes. He says, when you do it. In Matthew 9:15, he says it like this. The days will come when the bridegroom. Who's the bridegroom? Who's the bridegroom? Jesus is the bridegroom. And when he's taken away from them, the people, and then they will fast. Why? He's not there no more in physical form. So we're going to ring the bell of heaven and get a response from God by fasting. They're going to do it. And look what it, and then they will fast. Church, you're going to fast. As the Church of Jesus Christ, you're going to do it. Now, you can go willingly and fast willingly, or you can go kicking and screaming. But you're going to do it. You got to stop and think about what's going on in our lives. You know, you got to ring the bell of heaven and you're going to fast to get a response from heaven. You're going to do it. And the more you delay it, the more pressure is going to come from heaven, because Jesus says you'll do it. The expectation is that the church will do it. And Jesus even led by example, which we'll get to in a second. So why is it so hard, Pastor? Why is fasting so hard? I'll tell you, I already said it. We like to eat. We like to eat, right? We need to eat to sustain life. So not only do we like it, we need it. Right? And guess who else knows that? The enemy knows that you need it, you like it, and it does something for you when you don't do it. So there's some extra pressure on you. The enemy comes in and says, I want you to eat, man, come on, right? Church, we can literally eat ourselves out of the will of God. You can literally eat yourself out of the will of God. Why? Jesus says you're going to fast. Jesus says you're going to fast, and we can literally eat ourselves right out of God's will. My will is for you to do these things, but you're going to need to pray and fast to get it done. But we literally can eat ourselves out of God's will in our lives by just eating and not fasting, right? Listen to Hebrews 12:16. It says it like this. This is the Message version. Watch out for the Esau syndrome. trading away God's lifelong gift in order to satisfy a short-term appetite. Now, there's that story in the Bible between Esau and his brother Jacob, right? Rebecca and Isaac's kids, Abraham's grandkids, right? Wow, that's a heritage, right? Esau is a tad older than his younger brother, right? They didn't really get along. They didn't get along when they were in their mother's womb. They're kind of jostling around, you know, the scripture. And they're born, and, you know, Esau's like this skillful hunter, the mighty hunter guy. Jacob kind of liked to hang out in the tent with his mom. Rebecca loved him a little bit more, his more favorite, I guess I should say. Esau was, you know, a little bit more favorite to dad. He's out there hunting, shooting things, playing football, right? Jacob's home making some soup. It's all right. It's okay, right? The Esau syndrome is this. So he comes home one day from being out hunting, and he's famished. That's what he says, right? Scripture says, we'll read it in a second. He's really hungry. He's beat. He's tired. He's whipped. You know, he's coming in, and he wants food, and he opens up the door of the tent, right? And he gets in there, and Jacob's making dinner. Soup. It's like we had a couple weeks ago here at Journey Night. Soup's on. He smells it. He says, wow, that's really too much to take. I'm dying here. I'm hungry. I'm beat. I'm tired, you know. This is when in the scripture you know that Esau is kind of a whiner. If you know the scripture, he's kind of a whiner. He sees the soup, lentil soup, smells it. The senses are active, right? Smell. He wants to taste it. The Esau syndrome, right? I need that. I want. Come on. And you know what kind of brother is going on here. Nuh-uh. No. I want something if I give you this. Come on, I need it. I'm hungry. I'm your brother. You ever know that brothers want something to give something? They want something to give something. So he says, I want something. He says, give me your birthright. You're the oldest. That's a big deal. The Bible says the birthright is of the firstborn, right? They came out right after one another, right? Esau, Jacob, it's quick, right? What a decision. So he does it. Swear to me your birthright first, and then I'll feed you. So he does. Let's read it. It reads like this in Genesis 25:30. He said to Jacob, quick, let me have some of that red stew. I'm famished. Jacob replied, first sell me your birthright. See, there's a price for everything, church. Look, I'm about to die. Come on. Really? You're about to die? Talk about being melodramatic, right? Esau said, what good is this birthright to me if I'm going to die, is what he's kind of saying. But Jacob says, swear to me first. Swear to me. So he swore an oath to him, selling that birthright to Jacob. Then Jacob gave Esau some bread and some lentil stew. He ate and drank, and then he got up and left. Esau was willing to sacrifice his spiritual and physical blessing on the altar of his immediate appetite, king's stomach. King's stomach. He sold out. The birthright was sold for king's stomach. All of us in the room and watching online realize the king's stomach only holds on for a very short time. And then you're hungry again. You can only satisfy king's stomach for a little bit, and you need to satisfy it again. And the more you satisfy king's stomach, the more you need to satisfy it again. More so. That means the more you eat, the more you want. The more you want, the more you eat. You just keep going. There's Esau saying, give me some. He didn't have the birthright the next time he came home because he gave it away. King's stomach. There are some blessings, the thoughts like this, church. There are some blessings from God we will never receive unless we dethrone king's stomach. Let me give you the very first thing, king's stomach. Genesis 3:6. Watch this. When the woman said that the fruit of the tree was really good for food, senses. The senses kick in. Pleasing to see it, I want to eat it. Pleasing to the eye and also desirable for gaining wisdom. Ooh. She took some of it, and she ate it. You know what's going on here. She also gave some to her husband, Adam. And Adam and Eve ate together with her, and they ate the food. Right? There's that physical and spiritual battle that takes place right there, right? And all through human history, all the way down to us, Lord tarries even beyond today, and you'll see that battle between King's stomach and your spiritual life. So Jesus says, when you fast, because I'm going to break that power in your life of that flesh, and I'm going to say, hey, let's just fast and break it down. Church, fasting is more than missing a meal. Its power shows up because we commit to spend additional time in God's presence. It's really amazing, as many of you are going through your fasting, whatever you're doing, because the more you fast, the more you seek heaven, because you need help. The more you deny your flesh, the more you need heaven to show up. And the more you pray, the more you ring the bell of God, the more you fellowship with heaven, the more, because you need more help. The longer you do it, the more help you need. God's got you right where he wants you. Power starts to show up because the flesh no longer has control over you. God does. Because there's this thing that the Bible talks about, this kind of situation in your life needs you to pray and fast. What is that today, church? What situation do you have today? Let me give you some examples of fasting as we bring this in for a landing. Moses fasted for God's direction. Exodus 34 through 28, 34, 28 says, Moses was there with the Lord for 40 days and 40 nights without eating bread or drinking water. What? How did he survive? And he wrote on the tablets the words of the covenant, the Ten Commandments. God intervened supernaturally because the physical body can't do it, but God can. The physical body can't do it, but God can. But he had to start doing it on his own before God showed up to walk him the rest of the way. He had to make a decision, say, I'm going to fast. The expectation from heaven is I'm going to fast and I'm going to do it. And then the more I did it, the more God showed up. And the days went on and the nights went on and God showed up. Because there's no way the human body can go very long without water unless God intervenes. Now, I'm not telling you to go without water for days and days. I'm just telling you what happens when you fast. God has his way with us. And God responds. Moses fasted for God's direction. Moses was there with the Lord for 40 days, 40 nights, without eating bread or drinking water, and he wrote on those tablets the words of the covenant, the Ten Commandments. God showed up. Church, I got to ask a question. Does anybody here today need direction from heaven? Raise your hand. Just raise your hand. I do. Anyone? Watching online today, if you need direction from heaven, you just raise your hand or hit the button that says raising your hand on the online campus or just make a comment. It's me, Pastor. I need direction. Then you need to do what Moses did for direction. He prayed and he fasted and got direction. How about Ezra? Ezra fasted. Who's Ezra? Small book of the Bible, prophet Ezra, the priest, right? Ezra fasted for humility and protection. Goes like this. Ezra 8, 21 and 23 reads, there by the Ahava Canal, that's a river, I proclaimed a fast. That means I called one. Your pastor proclaimed a fast last week. I called one, right? Ezra's going to do the same. I'll tell you the story in a second. So that we may be humbled and humbled ourselves before God. And we asked him for some safe travel, safe journey for us and our children. I'm not leaving for this big journey. They're going on a journey with all these possessions, millions of dollars of possessions. So we fasted and petitioned our God about this, and he answered the prayer. They're heading back to the homeland, to Jerusalem, that was decimated. They're over at Babylon, and they're heading back. They've got this big caravan of family. We're going home. It's a wreck back home. And we're going to go over some treacherous ground and situations, and we're hanging out by this river. We're getting the water. We're getting ready to go before we go on the long journey. But we're not going to ask for help from anybody. We're just going to do it on our own with our heaven leading us the way. We're going to call a fast. And that's what happened there. We're going home. Got my kids here. Got all the possessions that we own. We've been kicked out. We've been exiled, Scripture says. There is a battle. There is a war. Does this sound vaguely familiar, what's going on today, right? We're going home. We're going to go home. But before we head out, we got to humble ourselves, and we need protection. So Ezra says, let's call a fast. That's what happened there. So we did. And God answered. Answered what? For humbling and protection. Church, is there anybody in the house today or watching online that needs protection today? Is that you? Just raise your hand. Do you need protected today? Thank you. If you're watching online, just raise. If you need protected, just raise your hand. I'm telling you how you get protected. Isaiah fasted for freedom. Isaiah 58:16. You know, if you know that chapter in Isaiah, Isaiah's searching for some fasts. He makes a comment in there, if you study it, I want true fasting. I want the kind that makes a difference. I want a true fast. What's he saying, Pastor? He's saying, I don't want to go through the motions of fasting just to say I'm doing it. I want to really do it so I get God's response. That's what he's saying. Let's read it together. Isaiah 58:6 says, the kind of fasting I want is this. This is what we all want. Remove the chains of oppression and the yoke of injustice in our lives. Break it down. And let the oppressed be set free. Freedom. The true fast I want is the oppressed to be set free. Whatever you're oppressed with. Demonic oppression. Financial depression. Oppression. Whatever, marital situation in your life today, a health situation in your life today, and you need freedom. Is there anybody in the house today or online that says, Pastor, I need freedom? Raise your hand. Just, I need freedom. I need freedom, Lord. Be free. Ring the bell of heaven and fast, and then you'll be set free, the Bible says. Jesus himself fasted for spiritual strength. Matthew 4, 1 through 3 says, then Jesus was led by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. And after fasting for 40 days and 40 nights, the kind that he needed to do, what he needed to do, the kind, remember he made that comment, this kind can only be delivered by fast. The kind he had now was the enemy, the devil. That's a kind. He was ready for him. Why? Because the Son of the living God says, I'm going to go 40 days and 40 nights, and I'm going to fast. And what happened after that time? He was hungry. He wanted the pizza. The tempter came in and said, if you are the Son of God, tell the stones to become bread. The tempter comes into our lives when we're fasting. He says, you can't do it. So why don't you just get some food? Really, what he's saying is, I'm afraid when you do it, is what the scripture means. I'm afraid when Cross Point Church says, I'm going to fast, and they do it. The enemy gets a little nervous because the Bible says the supernatural power of the living God will come in and feed your spirit. Your physical body may be hungry, but your spirit rises above. And that problem that you're facing, the kind of situation Jesus talked about, that you need prayer and fasting starts to dissipate. The healing shows up. Why? Because you're obedient to do what Jesus said to do in the first place. When they fast. Church, is there anybody here today that needs that spiritual strength that Jesus was seeking and getting from heaven? Is there anybody that needs that today? I do. I do. Give me that spiritual strength during my fasting. 14 days left in the 21 days of fasting here at this church to ring the bell of heaven and get a response. Don't go the next 14 days, church, and not get a response because you just are too addicted to some type of food or situation. Don't let the enemy win. Rise above and let God's supernatural power bring you through. And I want to pray for you today before we close. Many of you that are praying and fasting, we believe for the next 14 days that lives will be transformed. Changes will happen because we're doing what Jesus said to do in the first place. Fast. Deny yourself and watch how God responds. I just gave you four examples. There are many examples in God's word. Let's bow our hearts today, church. Father, Lord, in Jesus' name. Lord God, I thank you that you gave us the opportunity to pray. I thank you, Lord God, that you added that extra component of fasting, Lord, so we get a response from heaven, that we deny ourselves what we want and rise up to what you want for us. Lord God, for the many people in the house today and watching online, Lord God, I pray right now as they continue to fast, or maybe they start a fast after today. Lord God, I pray. I pray for their physical bodies, Lord God, that you supernaturally move them through. I pray, Lord God, that this makes them alive and active. Scripture says if you fast, you'll be alive and active. Why? Because the word says to fast, and we're going to fast. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Give us strength, Lord God. Let us deny our flesh. Rise up, allowing the Spirit inside of us to meet you, Lord God. Give us strength, Lord. Give us freedom. Give us protection. Give us humility. Lord God, give us spiritual strength. In the mighty name of Jesus, I pray. Amen. Church, stand with me today. And we're going to go out talking about fasting, and we're going to continue to do it for another 14 days. And I tell you what, I don't know about you, church, but I'm going to raise a hallelujah while I'm fasting. Give him praise. Let's raise a hallelujah.
And I'm going to sing in the middle of the storm.